Hello, everyone. I'm Dominique Johnson-Lindsay, and welcome to the Active Listener Podcast by Lightspeed. For the past 3 decades, Lightspeed has journeyed with educators and tech experts across school districts. With our Active Listener Podcast, we are bringing the stories and experiences of our customers, education experts, and our own team members on how listening is foundational to education. Tune in as we amplify these vital voices and understand more about the people shaping the future of education. We hope every podcast listen will be a learning opportunity with Active Listener. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to be here talking with a technology titan from Portland, Maine. Today I'm speaking with Andrew Wallace, Director of Technology at the South Portland School District. So before we get started, would you just please introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to have to update my business card so it says Technology Titan. So I like that. I'm going to go with that in the future. But no, I'm Andrew Wallace, the Tech Director for South Portland Schools here in Maine. And I'm also the president of the Maine Educational Technology Directors Association, so a professional organization comprised of directors across the state. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So I just want to kick things off. Of course, I wanted to have this interview knowing that you have a lot of experience to say, you know, what have you seen change over the landscape in the last 20 years that you are finding is a concern for teachers today that they haven't experienced before?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I think what we've experienced, you know, I hate to do yet another podcast in which I talk about COVID, but ever since, you know, this COVID experience in which students were learning wherever they were learning in different fashions, the big challenge to me has been re-engaging students as they come back into our schools, making sure they show up, and when they're here, that we're delivering instruction to them in a way that engages them at the highest possible level. For me, like, one of those ways is to, you know, have instruction that has really enticing video and audio components. So, you know, it's not enough to go up and stand and deliver anymore. But you really need to have high quality instructional materials and a teaching style that keeps the kids right with you. Because this current generation of students, you know, my own personal children, in fact, can learn almost anything they want. And the way they do it is through usually YouTube or shorts and things like that online. And, you know, we need to sort of adjust to reach them at that learning style. And that is their preference. So I don't know that we were all trained for this, but as a tech director, I feel like it's my job to put the right tools in place and the right supports for teachers in order to achieve that goal of meeting kids where they're at.
That makes so much sense. And it kind of segues to a great point, which is there are so many tools on the market and more coming out every day. How do you figure out what the right tools are for your district?
Yeah, that's interesting too. You know, lots of schools, when resources were free, really sort of, you know, expanded the tools that they used for teaching and learning. We actually did quite the opposite. It was born out of probably my own frustration when I had two kids and they were only 2 grades apart, and trying to keep up with their passwords and, you know, which kid uses Zoom and which kid uses Google Meets. That sort of stuff was, you know, really challenging for me, and I'm into this stuff. What we've decided around here is to pick fewer tools and go deeper with those tools. So by, you know, whittling down one of the 5 or 6, you know, formative assessment engagement tools that are available, if we can get down to 1 or 2, we can really create sort of this community of learners where the teachers are supporting each other. When a kid walks into my classroom, they don't have to worry about what is going on in your classroom, Dominique, right? So they don't have to learn a new tool just because of your preference or my preference. So we've really found that fewer tools lets families and kids and teachers go deeper and become really adept at those tools. And also we can measure the effectiveness much, much better when we know what we're measuring. So if you've got five different tools doing asserting that they're doing the same thing, how do you know which one is effective? So we're actually sort of limiting that. And I don't mean that in the sense of squashing innovation. It's sort of that place where you have to review your tools every so often, and you have to listen to teachers. When I look at some of our core tools, these are tools that teachers found at a conference. These are tools that teachers explored on their own or were referred to by a friend. And those innovations have become our mainstays. Those are some of our major tools were directly born out of a teacher interest, one teacher's interest. And I think that's the way to do it because they're the practitioners. I'm just the guy, you know, at the top trying to approve or get these things in place. So yeah, you got to listen to your teachers, focus on fewer things, and go deeper and do more with less things. That's my advice on how to sort of get a handle on all the resources that are available out there.
Gotcha. I love that. And I think that's a definite unique way to think about it. We've definitely noticed across, you know, the board that a lot of people did adopt more and more things. And I do agree that that's kind of harder to keep up with. So going deeper is definitely different, but I think it's also something that's really good, and it helps the organization become like experts at a certain thing where they can kind of help each other more. That makes me think about collaboration. So we always talk about collaboration a lot of times from the perspective of students. And so what does technology look like in helping teachers collaborate is something I'm curious about in your district.
Yeah. Yet again, you know, if we're using the same resources, right, then we can develop for the same environments and the same ecosystems. So, for example, if you are an excellent math teacher, and I certainly am not, you know, I can borrow some of the resources that you have found effective in your classroom, but it, only if they're portable, right? Only if they can fit into the, you know, the software or the delivery system that we've all agreed to use. So building out these libraries, and you'll see this trend among a lot of software companies, they're building these libraries. Some of them are local libraries. Some of them are, you know, anybody, any user can contribute to this library. And they are just like high quality vetted materials that have been proven to be effective in different settings, right? And so not everything works for every type of kid or in every setting, but by, you know, trusting colleagues in what they have found to be efficacious in their practice really allows you to collaborate there. And of course, we all use collaboration tools like, you know, Google Docs or Microsoft Teams and all that business, where, you know, you don't have to pass around a pen drive anymore or a CD-ROM or even a folder, right? Everything is now digital. People can get together and create really high quality materials. Collaboration is definitely critical. And I'd also say, again, don't limit it just to your own school district or to your own school. There's lots of opportunities to meet other educators, lots of digital platforms designed to support educators in their collaboration. So check out those Facebook groups and check out those other teacher focused organizations that allow you to do that, like ISTE affiliates, for example, are great. Or most districts, I mean, most states will have, you know, a computer science organization or a language, you know, English Language Arts Teachers Association, and really get in there and meet some other people from other places to collaborate more broadly.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm definitely a super fan of any kind of online resources. That's like my world. So I'm always like, yes, get in the Facebook groups and engage. I always think meeting other people and learning what they do is the fastest way to kind of get a leg up on things. So totally love that. Something I did want to bring up, of course, is any new technology innovations that you've implemented that you feel like are a mainstay in your district. So something that you could have acquired, it could either be pre-pandemic, but something you acquired, what do you feel like you implemented this technology, now it is a part of your roadmap going forward?
Yeah. And so to me, the technology that I've seen that holds the most promise and I feel like is starting to define us as a district is around audio technology. So ironically, you know, Lightspeed Audio Solutions, we've put in place basically during the pandemic, We tried to avoid buying things that would need a quicker refresh, like, you know, expensive laptops or even like staffing changes, right? These are things that cost a lot of money in the long term, a huge total cost of ownership expense. But what we tried to do was put in audio solutions into the spaces that we knew would last a long time and become part of the learning environment. Especially during COVID when people were wearing masks and speech intelligibility was a big challenge. We felt audio was the way to go. Previously, you know, audio often gets cut from a budget, but once you get it in there and people start seeing how much more engaged and how easier it is for students to learn when they can actually hear what the teacher is trying to articulate to them, it is a game changer. So I think for us, that's one of the new technologies that defines us. We really have committed to putting high quality audio distribution systems in every instructional space so that our teachers can really clearly communicate with students. And in some innovative spaces, we've added solutions, the little pods, I call them pucks, where the students can have a device on their desk. And then it allows them, if the teacher permits it, allows them to share their voice in the same way across the audio enhancement solution in the classroom. Because, you know, we talk a lot about student voice, but how do we give them that voice? If we're the ones holding the microphone all the time, you know, we're really not empowering students to have their voice in the classroom. And everyone's voice should be treated and respected in the same way. And by putting in clear audio solutions, you can do that. And so that's been a game changer for us. And it wasn't easy from the start, you know, but it's a culture shift that once you understand the impact and how much it can help students learn, really everyone seems to embrace it, which is what we want.
So with that, have you seen any unexpected benefits of the instructional audio systems? Of course, we always know you talk about things like engagement, but is there anything where you're like, wow, that came from audio too, or at least supported by?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing that I wasn't expecting when we did it was this general sense of calm that can, you know, outcome from this, from the solution, right? So I always sat in the back of the class. I don't know why I just did. And I often felt, you know, not terribly engaged, maybe because the teacher's voice never quite reached that far, right? But the kid, I suspect, in the front of the classroom always felt like the teacher was sort of yelling at them, right? The word, when we polled students and we did one of those, you know, fancy Wordle things, what do you think of when you think of this solution? And the number one word was calm. And so, you know, they didn't think the teacher was angry. They didn't think the teacher was disinterested. The teacher wasn't straining their voice. There wasn't this same sort of urgency that can come from a redirection in the classroom. It was just this notion of calm. And I've noticed it myself. And I try to use the audio technology when I, you know, run a meeting or conduct some professional learning myself. It really just sort of diminishes the side talk. It really focuses the attention because you really can't escape the voice and the message no matter where you're sitting in the classroom. And for me, it allows me to speak at a more conversational tone that I think is more friendly and sort of begets better learning opportunities if you create that calm, respectful tone in a classroom.
That's a good one. And I think it's often one that is passed over sometime about, you know, what's the perception like? Because we know that's not the intention with teachers or people speaking in the front of the classroom to kind of, you know, make the kids think they're yelling or that they're fatigued or that kind of stuff. But I think it just comes off that way because we know how audio work. So I'm always happy to hear things like that where calm is kind of the outcome, because I think a calm environment is a good environment for like everyone, especially for learning. I think about some of the concepts that I learned when I was in school and I'm like, it was so stressful.
Right.
And I think the audio component added the extra layer of just like stress to some of those subjects that I was just not.
Yeah, and teachers can't be everywhere all at the same time, right? That's the big challenge. We do not want teachers up in front of the classroom doing lecture style instruction, right? We know that that is one of the least impactful types of teaching. But sometimes it's effective because that's where the whiteboard is. That's where the podium is. That's the place to project your voice. You know, another innovation we put into place that I think complements this well is that our interactive panels at grades, you know, up through eighth grade are on wheels and they move around, right? So the epicenter of learning isn't the front of the classroom. You know, schools talk about wanting to change it from the sage on the stage, but what's the first thing they do is they mount a $6,000 object to the front of the classroom with speakers blaring out the front to reinforce that concept that that is the place from which you should instruct. And we just don't believe that's true. And so, you know, by having audio solutions and by video that can move around, you can negate that reinforcement of the physical placement of the objects. And, you know, it's also cool to see another innovation is when kids are grouped around, you know, in groups. Like, let's say a typical classroom has a group of four kids working on a project. And if group number three needs help, they can signal to the teacher via the puck that they need help. And the teacher can either come over or can interact with them two-way audio through the puck, which is pretty cool, you know, because the traditional sense is the teacher goes to table one, table two, table three, table four, and that's completely arbitrary. You know, table one goes first. They may not need your help right now. Table three may be the one that's urgently in need of some redirection. And so, you know, just being more thoughtful in how you place yourself as a teacher to provide supports, and technology can allow you to do that in a way that was previously much more challenging.
I agree. And I love that. My mom is a first grade teacher. And so that group environment is pretty common, especially with those lower grades. And so I definitely love the impact of being able to kind of help that collaboration, as well as just the students getting that, you know, hand raised and being able to say like, hey, I need some help. I think that's so important. And I love that technology is a piece of that because it's truly innovating the way we do it and not just doing it in a certain order. So I love that. My last question before we get to my fun questions is, how do you envision the impact of technology in districts over the next 5 to 10 years? So what do you think is just going to change the landscape for ed tech as a whole?
Well, I mean, it's got to be AI, right? So it wouldn't be a podcast in the year 2023 if I didn't say the word AI, right? So I got this far. I made it 22 minutes without saying the word AI. I want a prize for that. But it's true. That is the answer. We need to, you know, thoughtfully plan how we're going to incorporate AI into our learning environment, right? Into our ecosystem. We need to look at how are teachers going to use it? How is the district going to use it? How are students going to use it? We need to investigate things like, you know, the ethics around it. You know, who owns this content? Are we paying close enough attention to the implicit bias that is, you know, innate in AI results? Are we being genuine? When I can run a AI prompt to provide feedback to my 20 students, you know, is that me as a professional doing that? Or are we using that to like maybe jog my memory of different ways I might provide feedback? So finding out the ways that this amazing time-saving resource could be used in a very thoughtful, purposeful way is really critical. So when I like to think of, I don't know what the phrase is, but I've heard it lately from some colleagues, you know, it's almost like situational use of AI. So kids are going to use it, teachers are going to use it. But, you know, a great, great leader and thinker in this space is A.J. Giuliani. And he has these slides, which is like, you know, it's a pretty stereotypical stop sign. Traffic light. So red means, no, you never use AI for your final draft, right? Yellow means, you know, proceed with caution when doing this. Yeah, it's a great way to refine some of your thoughts. And green means, hey, we're brainstorming as a class right now. Let's use it. We're expecting you to use it. So it's not about just, you know, banning it or encouraging it. It's really about when is the right time to use it and to what extent. Because if we don't define the right times, then we're always going to be in this place of like a gotcha. Like, oh, that kid plagiarized with that, or that teacher used it inappropriately over here. You know, really, truly understanding when, why, and to what extent you should be using AI to supplement your teaching and your demonstration of learning as a student. That's to me the spot where we need to spend a lot of time as school districts and as schools and as teachers to figure that all out.
That makes a lot of sense. And it would not be a podcast in 2023 without talking about AI. So every guest I've had has definitely brought it up in some form or fashion. So I agree, but you did bring it up the latest. So that is a prize for that. Okay. The last two questions are just fun. So quick and dirty answers, nothing too involved. The first one is, if you could immediately remove one barrier to learning, what would it be?
That people feel like they need to be an expert in order to ask other people to demonstrate things. So you don't have to know how to do iMovie to ask students to show their learning with iMovie. So teachers need to like let go of that. They don't have to be perfect.
I love it. And then the last one, what's your favorite sound in the world?
Favorite sound in the world? I think it's the third snooze. So I hit snooze twice and I feel much more rested when I hear the third one. So I think that's my favorite. It means that my day is ready to go.
I love it. I love it. So I want to thank you so much for this today. This was so good. And so unique. I love just hearing about this from a purely technology perspective, because I think as supporters of people that introduce technology to districts all the time, we want to hear how you all think and how we can support you. And so I think this was such a great conversation to have. And I just want to thank you for taking time to spend with us today.
Well, thanks, Dominique. I'm glad you invited me. I had a good time talking with you.
That's all for today's Active Listener. Thanks for tuning in. Share your comments on this episode on our Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn social media pages. You can visit our website at lightspeed-tech.com to learn more about our mission to ensure every student hears every word. And subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Until next time, let your listening be as active as your learning.